Put an old Glenn Miller album on the stereo, that is, if you can find a record player, and you get the smooth 1940s sound of the big bands. If you ask Gordon Goodwin about big band music, something else will come out of the speakers. Gordon Goodwin is trying to revive big band music for a new era and a new audience. His Big Fat Band, that's fat with a PH, tours the country playing not only in huge jazz venues but also in front of much smaller audiences at middle schools and high schools. Gordon Goodwin joins us from our studios at NPR West. Welcome, Gordon.
Thanks, Sheila.
So, why big band?
I first heard Glenn Miller when I was in fifth grade. My parents had Glenn Miller records, and I remember liking the sound of it, but it wasn't something that I could get into because all the pops and all the hits, you know, it sounded old to me. But I knew that there was something kind of at the core of it that was appealing, even like in fourth and fifth grade. And then in seventh grade, I heard a Count Basie record, which was, you know, recorded a lot more currently and had a lot better, like a hipper sound to it. So I always thought, what if you could take the best elements of the 40s style big bands and record them with all the best pop, you know, recording techniques. And that's kind of what we're trying to do with the Big Fat Band, combine the best of both of those worlds.
And what drives you to do it?
Well, why are you in radio? I mean, you found something that you love to do. You love to communicate that way. And I can tell you, when I heard a big band, and I don't know what you believe about reincarnation or any of that stuff, but I felt like I knew it. I said, man, I know what this is. Even at that early age, it resonated with me. And I just knew that this is something, I'm home here. You know, this is something that I think I can do my whole life. And, you know, so far that's kind of what it does. I do a lot of different styles of music in my work as a film and television composer. But when I do the music that I really love, the music that really resonates with me, it's big bands. And I think that, you know, if you hear it, and not a lot of people do nowadays, but if you really sit in front of a band and feel its power and feel its impact and feel its energy, then you get an idea of what those kids back in the 1940s were feeling when they would go see Benny Goodman and go see Glenn Miller and all those exciting bands of that era. That whole thing was fueled by young people. And that's why when we play high schools and colleges and middle schools with the Big Fat Band, it's very invigorating for us to see young people responding to that music, you know, in a similar way.
A lot of jazz these days, especially smooth jazz, is pretty much background music. That's not what you want in your music, is it?
Well, you know, you're right. That's a problem for us, actually, in terms of the marketing of this band, because if you try to turn the Big Fat Band record on softly while you're talking, it will annoy you. It really, for me, demands your attention. And there are a lot of music like that. You try to listen to Stravinsky soft. Forget it. You need to turn it up. You need to do it. So it really isn't designed to be music that you put on under dinner. It's designed to be music you know that you listen to. Maybe you dance to it, but it does command your attention, I think.
What in particular on your CD XXL would be a song that one would not want to put on as background music?
It takes a long time for us to do these records, you know. It takes over a year for us by the time we kind of get the stuff written and rehearsed and recorded and mixed. So I lose the forest through the trees a little bit there. But I'd say that there's a tune on there called The Jazz Police. And The Jazz Police has a lot of energy and kind of in that style. And so I probably, if I was trying to mellow out and take a nap, I wouldn't put that track on.
You have an amazing lineup of musicians on XXL. R&B singer Brian McKnight, jazz clarinetist Eddie Daniels. How did you talk them into doing this?
You know what? The only thing I had was that they also have an affinity for big bands. Brian McKnight is a real jazzer, and not a lot of people know that. Johnny Mathis is on the record. He's not a jazz singer, but he grew up hanging out with guys like Miles Davis and Oscar Peterson and jazz legends. Johnny Mathis was in that group of people. All these people, I can't afford to pay them what they usually get to, you know, to do their thing. But what I can do is provide them with the, one of the best big bands going, because the guys in the Big Fat Band are all the top L.A. studio musicians, you know. So that, I think, intrigues them. I guess they like my writing. They have to like it, because there's no way that I can pay them what they usually get, you know, to do their thing.
You've touched on something that intrigues me. If you are trying to reach a younger audience, why Johnny Mathis?
Hey, everybody, let's have some fun. You only live once, and when you're dead, you're done. So let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll.
You know what, Sheila? It's a cracker. Because they are astounded by it. And Johnny Mathis comes out and sings Let the Good Times Roll. And not only young people, but even people that have been fans, you know, for him for decades, they can't even believe that he's up there doing that. Because you used to think of him as singing Misty and all those old ballads. Or Brian McKnight of singing his R&B stuff. People are very surprised that they have that versatility. Because nowadays, we tend to think of people as, okay, what category are you? Are you this or are you that? And a lot of people have more versatility than that. So the whole thing with the young people, I don't want to discount it, because we play at these high schools and they treat us like the Beatles. It is so hilarious to watch these kids screaming and going nuts, and they come up and we have these big autograph sessions afterwards. We sign their, you know, their shirts and their body parts and the whole thing. So I don't take it for granted. I think it's awesome that that's happening.
I have never thought of big bands and marching bands in the same breath before. Is there some connection between the interest of your young listeners and the kind of band music that they play?
You know, apparently there is. I have to tell you, because when I came up, playing in marching band was anathema, and it was just like nothing to do with music. It was just supporting the athletic department, and you got out of marching band as quick as you could. Now, nowadays, there's a whole movement of these, you know, drum and bugle corps and field groups where they've actually, I know of at least a half a dozen schools or more that have taken the Big Fat Band music and transferred it into that marching band environment. And sometimes they might have a jazz group on the football field and have all the other people marching around them and, you know, the color guard and the whole thing. A lot of times marching bands seem to pick there's a tune called Count Bubba they play. There's a tune called Samba del Gringo, which is a Latin tune that's successful. The Jazz Police is another one. And then there's another song on XXL called Hunting Wabbits. Wabbit, who was born out of work I did at Warner Brothers Animation. I was a composer for them for 5 years, and we worked on some of their programs called, you know, like Pinky and the Brain and Animaniacs and Sylvester and Tweety, all that stuff. And at that time, I studied the music of Carl Stalling, who was the composer that did all the Bugs Bunny stuff, you know, back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to write a big band thing. What would Carl Stalling do, you know, if he meets the big band? So Hunting Wabbits is an odd little tune that has caught on beyond my expectations and has found a life, you know, in the marching bands and field bands, as well as in jazz bands across the country.
So what song would you like to close this interview with?
Why don't we close with a great Cole Porter song called It's All Right With Me.
It's the wrong time. Face is charming, it's the wrong face. It's not her face, but such a charming face that it's all right.
Gordon Goodwin's DVD version of XXL will be available from Silverline Records next month. He joined us from our studios in NPR West. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Sheila. My pleasure.
It's not her smile, but such a lovely smile that it's all right with me.
All right, this is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Sheila Cast.
We met, I'm strangely attracted to you. There's someone I'm trying so hard to forget. Don't you want to forget someone to love? With the wrong ships. And though your lips are tempting, they're the wrongest. They're not.